We are out at John Crist Winery here in Avon Lake for the Spotlight on Avon Lake. It's a Tuesday edition of Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Had some rain a little bit earlier. It's cleared the way. A little bit of sunshine there.
Yeah, it was there for a second. And now it's disappeared.
Overcast, but regardless, there's all kinds of sunshine here inside of John Crist Winery. We're having a blast. Come on out here and join us. They've got some happy hour specials, $1 off a glass of wine, $3 off bottles as well. Come on down here and check out the action. They've got some appetizers out here as well. We're here until 6. You should join us as well. There are a lot of reasons for you to come out here, not just today, but we were talking with Jennifer Koff earlier about all the great events they have coming up, the Clam Bake this weekend, the Hula Hoop Workshop. Matt may or may not be teaching that workshop coming up on Sunday. But they've also got murder mysteries. You ever been to one of these?
I have not. It sounds very intriguing, though.
Murder mysteries are fun, man. Yeah. They're a lot of fun. We've got Todd Selgin joining us right now. Todd runs these murder mysteries. Todd, you mentioned that you and your wife have been doing the murder mystery thing for 20 years?
Right, about 20 years now.
Holy cow. Okay, so I hadn't heard about murder mysteries until just a few years ago. I thought the concept was very, very fascinating. And after walking in here around, I don't know, 2:30 today, I got the impression that this place is made for murder mysteries.
This is, John Crist has been wonderful to us. They're an absolutely just a fantastic facility. Jen and Chris treat us like gold, so we just love it here. And the atmosphere screams murder mystery. It's small, it's intimate. And the crowds that we've had here have just been fantastic.
What originally got you into this 20 years ago?
Well, my wife, she did a lot of community theater growing up, you know, in high school and college and then community theater afterwards. Me, I'm just a screw-off, and I have no frontal lobe, so I figure, hey, you know, why not? Well, my wife got into a murder mystery show years ago, and, you know, throughout the course of that, they needed a substitute. And so she said, well, you know, my husband will do it. And, well, lo and behold, it was the detective. Well, the detective runs a second act. I didn't realize I had to memorize all those lines, so I had a nice notebook that I was asking questions from. And it's just here we are 18, 20 years later, and we're still doing it, still loving it, and still, you know, enjoying meeting people and having a good time.
So you get to play Dick Tracy, don't you?
Yes, I do. In some sort of fashion, yes.
Does that get do you ad-lib a lot of what you do? You mentioned at the very beginning you had the notebook, so it was a little bit easier, but you're playing detective, so you're pretending like you're writing notes down. How much of this is ad-lib now, 20 years later?
A lot of it is ad-libbed. We have a skeleton script the way that we run it currently, so you have to kind of keep up on, you know, historical events. You got to keep up on current events, you know, to make things lively, to make things timely. But yeah, a lot of it's just the ad-libbing because you don't know what the audience is going to say to you, and you have to work off that, and that really keeps it fresh and it keeps you on your toes.
Okay, that's interesting because, you know, we've had a lot of stand-up comedians on the show since the show began, what, not quite 2 years ago, and they say a lot of the same things. You know, you never know what kind of reaction you're going to get from the crowd, but a lot of times your material's got to be new, it's got to be kind of fresh, but in an environment like this, I would imagine it's a little bit lighter. People know what they're getting into. When you come out to a winery, you're coming out to have a good time, and I would imagine that from your perspective, being a part of this show, that's got to make it a ton of fun.
It's great. I mean, the way we run it is just before the show opens, you know, the doors open and people come in, they usually get some wine here, you know, start some eating, this and that. I come out in character and I'm go around to different tables and I kind of give them a description of what's going on, some instructions, but I'm in character. And that 5 minute, you know, chit chat with each table, they kind of realize, okay, we're here to have fun. We're here to have some cheesy jokes and just have a good time. By doing that also, though, the way we run it is we choose 8 people from the audience and they are our suspects. Which makes it a lot of fun. We give them, you know, lines to say, you know, they have goofy costumes to wear. They make, you know, they have to do some funky things throughout the first act. And it's funny, when you bring a person from a table to be up there to be involved in this play, the people from that table are instantly invested in it. They're either catcalling or cheering them on, and that's where the ad-libs come from the audience, and you just have to play off of it. So I look at it as a challenge, and it's just a blast. It's fun.
I'd imagine that would make it a different experience. Kind of every time you come to, sure, to see one of these, you have different people who are kind of playing that role.
Right. I would say even if we did the same script week after week, the show probably changes a good 10 to 20%. Wow. Because, again, there might be a topic that happens that week that wasn't there the previous week that you can joke or riff on. So it's always changing, even though it's, you know, technically the same script.
Sure.
So when you're picking out these eight participants, are you kind of scouting when you guys walk in, or you're watching the crowd walk in? Are you picking out targets as they walk in, thinking, you know what, this might be a good suspect?
Yes, that's one of the reasons why I go around and talk to people, is to find out, you know, he's funny, she's funny. A lot of times we encourage people to dress up. We have a luau-themed one, so we want them to wear their Hawaiian. The one coming up here in October at John Christ, it's going to be a Halloween theme, so we want people to dress up. So you can kind of get an idea of how much people are into it just by the way they're coming in, the way they're talking, you know, the way they're joking back to me even before the show begins. So that does help hone down who do we choose and who do we help run this.
Where do you guys get the scripts from? Do you make those?
We make them ourselves.
Wow.
Yeah, it was one of those things when we went out on our own about a year and a half ago, my wife and I decided we want to have some control over the creative content of it. And so we wanted to make sure that, you know, we're proud of the shows that we're doing, that the shows are funny, that they don't drag on too long. We keep our humor at a PG level unless other people, we can follow them yeah. wherever they want to go, but we tell people initially we keep it at a PG level. I want my kids to be able to come to this and not be embarrassed, even though dad's in maybe in an afro and a Hawaiian shirt. But other than that, you know, we want it to be fun. We want it to be just a great, great time, and people follow along with that.
Certainly. Where do you guys come up with that? I'm curious. Where do you come up with the material?
You know, we just kind of, we write things down. You know, again, my wife, you know, she has an English degree, so she, of course, corrects all of my grammar and all of my scripts. But we just come up with ideas of, oh, my gosh, that would be kind of funny, and we kind of write it down and we noodle it, and then we kind of have a structure of how do we fill these out, how do we flesh the characters out, you know, how do we give them a good reason to kill this person during the first act. So it just kind of comes to you, and then you run with it.
So you mentioned there was a luau or a Hawaiian themed one at one point. You've got you've got the Halloween one coming up here on October 28th.
Yeah, that's kind of a dysfunctional family reunion. We put the fun in dysfunctional.
Okay.
So that is a themed one. We have one where there's a reading of a will. We have another one where it's a dance facility, kind of a nonprofit dance facility. So it's kind of like the arts and, you know, the art world. So, yeah, we have about five scripts to choose from.
As far as props, do you guys have things like that for these or no?
Yes, we try to not be too prop heavy, but the characters that we bring in, we give them, you know, they might wear a hat or a funky scarf or, you know, some sunglasses, something to help them flesh out their character. And again, they have lines to say that the lines, there's only a couple that they have to say in the first act and a couple in the second act. Everything after that is all improv, either by our actress, Rachel Spence, you know, that she runs the first act, so she can do whatever she wants with them for the 3 or 4 minutes that they're up. And then the second act is I usually come in again as a bodyguard or a detective, and I'm interviewing them. So they have to answer all of my questions as they think their character would answer it.
Very cool stuff.
Yeah, it's great.
It's fascinating, too, how it changes with every different scenario. So what's the most bizarre one that you've been a part of? I mean, you mentioned all these different themes. What's the most bizarre themed murder mystery you've been a part of?
Well, we've been part of pirate ones, you know, high school reunion ones, deadly fruitcake. So that's
deadly
all,
fruitcake?
Yes, fruitcake is always deadly. It's even extra deadly. Yes, yes. Just a lot of weird ones. You know, again, like I said, Hawaiian ones. But the weirdest one is we were doing a party, a private party, this years ago at a people's home, and we were just about ready to go on. And there's probably about 15 or 20 people. Well, all of a sudden we hear this dog barking and then yelling and screaming. And we realized that the dog had attacked a little child at the event.
Oh.
And so they're telling us this right before we're supposed to go on. So, of course, that instantly deflates anything. But even the people were like, no, we want to have this. Now we need it even more. We need lightness even more. So we had to go on. We had to do the show even after something as tragic as that. The boy was okay. But leading into it, it was our most bizarre experience that we've had.
Holy cow. Well, yeah, because then you really have to lighten the mood a little bit, even though it's tough to do that.
Correct. It's very tough to do that. So that was our most bizarre experience.
So you mentioned the Halloween one coming up at the end of the month. You guys have one here in November, one in December as well.
Correct.
Have you guys figured the themes out for those ones yet?
Usually the ones in November, December are more Christmas themed. So we try to stick with that. And, you know, towards the beginning of this year, we had a show here in January, February, March, and April. And then we had a big clam bake at John Christ over here in July. So we just try to figure out what we need to go. But the ones in November, December are probably more of a Christmas holiday themed.
How long, all in all, does the process take as people sit down and the show goes on?
If the show starts at 7. Usually the doors open at 6, and that's when people start eating and drinking. And again, that's when I come in character. Mm-hmm. So if the show starts at 7, it's probably the show will run from about 7 to 8:30, and there's a break in between the first and second act, and that's when they get their dinner. That's the part people really like, because they get their food. So the show pretty much ends somewhere between 8:30 and 9. So it's about a 2 to 3 hour time frame.
I'll tell you what, Jeff Hart from the Cleveland Haunts Club's in the house as well. He's one of those guys you could actually make a part of that entire murder mystery presentation.
Sure.
He'd be a great audience participant without question.
I'm sure he would. I'm sure it'd be fantastic. He might take my job.
I'm not sure if he plays detective well.
Okay,
but he can play a number of different roles. There's no question.
Some
about
sort
that.
Of corpse or something. There, might be more up his.
That's great.
Oh, and he's got that voice, man. He's got the voice you actually when you go to a haunted house. That's the voice you think you're going to hear.
Right.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
That's fantastic.
Todd, this was awesome, man. Thank you so much
for joining us. No, I appreciate it. No, this is great talking to you. Thank you so much.
And again, the show is October 28th. You guys have one coming up in November and December.
It'll be November 28th and then December 9th. And you'll look it up at John Crist. Go up to the website and check it out. But tickets should be on sale probably in the next day or so.
Great. Good stuff. Again, Detective Todd Selgin, right?
Yeah. Well, some say Detective Magnum PU. That's one of the characters that you might encounter. Yes,
that's great.
And the British butler Snickerdoodle. So those are my famous ones.
Oh, all right, good deal. I was just going to throw out the Magnum PU. I was going to go Columbo on you, but whatever you want to go with, those all work fine. Awesome.
But we're working into the next one. How's that?
Good deal. Todd, thanks, man. This
Thank
was
you
fun.
Much.
This was a blast.
Thanks, appreciate
stuff.
It.
Again,
appreciate
Todd Selgin joining us. You can see him out here for the Murder Mysteries. The next one coming up on October the 28th here at John Crist Winery. We need to step aside and take a break. We'll come back for the final hour of the show right after this on AM 930 WEOL.